James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
We get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's Recovery Session.
I love it, Purple. Good to see you on a Monday always.
Hello, Jim and Bill. And there's a heap going on today, isn't there, on all sorts of fronts.
Well, I want to... Now, we start with the negatives.
Yeah.
And
we're
going to get to them in just a sec. Yeah. But while we're talking negatives,
yeah.
I'm very worried about the standard of broadcasting on this station.
Yeah.
No, like, there are three examples of people that quite clearly shouldn't be on the air.
Well, one's got small teeth. One's a very good friend of yours, and one's been a known recidivist in this space.
I just want... Well, let's put the three of them up, yep. And I want you to judge who has got the most to worry about. Let's have a listen to Nath Brown end of last week.
As to everybody helped us out, put this to get out to you to the end of the art. I'm going to finish off with something. Triple M rocks footy.
What is that?
So that is a man who's had a brain fade and needs to be rebooted.
Yep. Well, while we're talking brain fades, of course, the famous one from our man years ago with the great Spud Frawley.
Very good, boys. Got your Willis.
I didn't say that.
I don't get any of that. And then, of course, my best mate, Greg Blewett, who's doing a great job over there in Adelaide, but down on the boundary...
Greg Blewett on the boundary for Bob Jane Team Arts.
Clean bill of health. Clean bill of health for both teams down here, guys.
What are we doing?
Well, Greg Blewett, as a result of Nathan Brown's brain meltdown on Friday night, is the happiest person in the Triple M camp right now. Because he's not the only problem.
Where are we at,
Jim? I'll tell you. We're all associated with you. So it might be you. It might be you,
How
Jimmy
Boyle. Blame?
Fair point, Bill. It's a fair point.
I am concerned. I'm concerned.
You've mentored certainly Bluey, and I think you've had a very close relationship media-wise with Nathan Brown. And obviously you work with Fat.
I've given up on Fat. Yeah. I thought the other two were better than that, to be honest, but they're clearly not. Now, let's get serious. We are in the middle of a COVID crossfire.
Yeah.
So what are we doing with this competition?
Yeah, and to use all those cliches, it's closing in, isn't it? Evidence of that was in the final hour before the last game of round 18, GWS and the Sydney Swans team. So two key players came out, one for each team in Callum Mills and Toby Green and others, Bill. And look, just to get a sense of drama, I don't think people have fully caught up with how this played out yesterday. One of the players who came in was James Rowbottom from the Swans. And just to let people into his world yesterday, this is how he reflected upon being called up to play the game of footy when he was happily doing his own thing in a hotel room.
I was in the shower just at the hotel about hour 10 before the game, and Berber rang and said, get your gear on, it's been a shit show down here, might be playing. And I jumped out of the shower, got dressed. My girlfriend came upstairs about 2 or 3 minutes later and she said, what are you doing? Aren't we leaving like an hour? And I said, no, I think I'm playing. And then Laves out the front, came down in about half an hour, we were in.
So extraordinary scenes where the exposure to the COVID situation in Victoria, where they attended the rugby union match on the Tuesday night of last week, before Victoria was in lockdown and before we'd even had a semblance of what it means to be a Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3 under this Delta variant approach that the health authorities are having, had to then obviously stand aside from the game yesterday.
So Purple, let me ask you this. What's the point of getting tested? If you get tested and you're negative and it doesn't matter anyway.
That's how it would be, the way I see it, Jim, be treated in Victoria. Given there were special exemptions given to these players and officials to go into Queensland, they are approaching it in a different way. And as such, as we speak, a work backwards from a 14-day quarantine period. Now, there will be submissions made on behalf of each individual here. I believe that start time will go back to the actual exposure time, which was Tuesday last week. So there may only be one more game required to be missed for these people who missed already yesterday. But again, even that is in abeyance as we speak.
So what if they can fly into Melbourne and play? Would they then be available?
I would doubt they'd be able to do any sort of movement while they're under this quarantine period at the moment.
So it makes no sense to me, because you get tested, the test come back negative. Surely at that point, you're like, okay, you're free to go.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense that you're then locked down for another 13 days beyond a negative test.
Don't want to get too caught up in the minutiae in that I don't totally claim to know what's going on, Jim, but the Delta variant is one that they're treating very differently to what has happened previously. And as such, the protocols that are in place for the public and obviously by an extended nature when it comes to footballers playing football in another state. So, look, and the worry is what happens again? I mean, we've already had a situation this morning where Josh Dunkley's now in the same boat for an exposure bill to another site. So you just wonder how many more incidents of this type can happen before there is something by way of a pause port. But as we speak again, and things can change, but as we speak, the intent is to get these games played right through until the end of the year without stop.
What, 5 home and away rounds to go? So 45 games, Damo. We've just got to tick them off, don't we?
That's
it, Bill. I'll tell you what is interesting. The late changes, there's a new late change, isolating. It's unbelievable.
No.
Not injury or whatever.
Yeah.
Isolating. Whoever would have thought of that? But it is, Damo. It's got down to it. It's not a day-by-day thing. It's an hour-by-hour thing now, isn't it?
It is. And look, check onto Triple M online platforms. The round 19 fixture will be out at some stage. We're talking early-ish.
Melbourne
on,
Western Bulldogs move to Saturday night, I'm hearing.
It's a Saturday night, was it?
Yep, that's the word
okay,
I'm hearing.
Yeah, well, it's certainly going to be moved out around 20. Collingwood having to fly into Adelaide for the Port Adelaide game on Friday night. That requires special exemptions too under the fly in, fly out of South Australia. So, yeah, but that's a round 20 game that Collingwood Western Bulldogs will be moved forward to round 19.
Melbourne Western Bulldogs.
Western Bulldogs, sorry. Yep. And other games will then be moved back into round 20. Yep. But as it stands, what will happen? Each matchup that is still to be played, that game will take place. There won't be any alteration of the actual opponent for each team. It's just when the matches will be played.
We've got about 3 minutes to get the negatives done, and we don't like to dwell on them. So let's bang through a couple. Geelong, my God. They did the biggest number ever on Fremantle,
who
were as poor as any team's been this year for me.
Yeah, well, 3 goals is all they got, and only one in the first half, and that came from a deliberate out-of-bounds free kick. Another goal came from a complete botch-up by 3 Geelong defenders who just didn't talk to each other, and the ball spilled loose to Michael Walters, and then they managed to sort of kick a nice goal, I think, themselves. But 3 goals for the entire game. They're in a different... It was like a waffle team, wasn't it, what they did?
But they've been really good, Fat. The last 6 weeks, Freo have really built into something that's sustainable, but now, you can get beaten by Geelong in the wet. They're a bloody good side, as we know, but that was poor.
Yeah, it was. Look, and I thought Freo were a chance because Geelong, quick turnaround, had to fly into Perth, obviously. But it was just professional. They just got over there. They got the points, flew home. So very professional. I know one player who's going well for Freo. Big Darcy. Isn't he having a year? Sean Darcy.
He was good. He Frankie's own form, didn't he? On that, they just don't put anyone above them, the Dockers. And I think that's their concern. That's their next step they've got to take. I'll throw in Brisbane and Melbourne in the same negative conversation in that Brisbane losing to Richmond, a second loss in a row, St Kilda the previous week.
Yep.
Melbourne adding Hawthorn. Now, they didn't lose, but they didn't win, so they drew. You then add Hawthorn, which is, as we know, second last on the ladder, to the other teams in Adelaide, Collingwood and GWS, who are all down the ladder. And they're the teams they haven't been able to beat this year, the Demons. So there's a concern there when there's an attitudinal issue at play.
No doubt. Good thing they're not going to play finals against any of those teams, because then they would be in a heap of strife. Angus Brayshaw's got to be better. You got a set shot, 35 out, not much angle. He kicks that, you win the game.
Yeah.
So you're leader of the club. I love him. He's my nephew, of course. Mm. Fat, you drag a lot of air into your lungs and you go back and you kick it and the game's done. So disappointing.
Spot on. Mm. Yeah, it was a bit. But there was a couple of other things. Even a couple of their senior players kind of panicked game when they had to go to the boundary, or they kicked the ball back into play, and they should have really won that one, Melbourne. I like the Hawks. I thought...
Or just having some issues with Fats. It's either him speaking or it might be the audio. We're not sure which one.
Can you blame the audio for the previous audio you played, Jim?
No. Unfortunately, he was live in studio.
Very good boys. Daniel Willis.
See, it might have been a Zoom call for all we know.
All right, any other negatives quickly before we...
St Kilda missed a chance. I'm not too critical of them, given they had a good 3 weeks prior to their loss to Port Adelaide, but they missed the chance, and they missed it because of their own terrible kicking. We'll get to Port Adelaide on the positive soon, but GWS, Jimmy Bartel, director of the club, sums them up pretty accurately and pretty often these days, that they're consistently inconsistent and they just missed. There's no excuse what happened pre-match COVID-wise, because they were 7-2-1 and lost the game of footy.
Well, getting back to Port Adelaide and St Kilda, Fat, I think Duck said it best, or it might have been BT, one of the two of them said, you could go and watch Lawn versus Apollo Bay and it would be more entertaining than the 2 hours. It was a very tough watch.
Jim, I think that was me, thanks to Seabus Special.
Oh.
Jim?
I love your audio is actually editing yourself while you're speaking. It's good. It? All right, we need to get to a break.
I'm going to reboot.
Reboot, Fat. The positive's coming up next.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
This is Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour. Bizarre Round 18 has been run and won in the AFL, and Damien Barrett's in the studio. Oh,
now we're getting positive, Purple.
We like to be positive on a Monday, Jim, and there's no man who deserves more positivity out of the weekend, in my eyes, than Sammy Walsh from the Carlton Footy Club. You called the game yesterday for Channel 7, and you're all over him. He'd already had a very, very nice game to three-quarter time, but they then hit that point, and they're 8 points down, and he just takes his game to yet again a new level in terms of impact on contest, impact on outcome, and the fact he kicked that goal too at a crucial stage in the last quarter out of nowhere. Another positive too was Harry McKay, who'd done effectively nothing to that point. No goals at least, and then kicked four in the final quarter.
No, Purple, he had done nothing. He hadn't recognised the Sharon to three-quarter time, so it was brilliant.
Yeah, it was. And you look at him, and obviously with what Walsh is doing, Wiedering's still having a very nice season down back. There's always been a lot to work with. We just haven't seen it. But three of the past 4 weeks now, it's been pretty good for Carlton. Again, they're not yet there. But at the same time, David Teague, I've been as critical as anyone about his input into and impact at that team. But right now, under review, he's probably coaching the best he's ever coached, at least in terms of getting the message through. And we've seen that story before. They get to three-quarter time, they're a chance, and they fall away. Well, yesterday they didn't. And okay, it was only against Collingwood, but it was still a meritorious win, Bill.
It was, and well done to Jack Silvani there, and a nice tribute to his grandfather when he kicked that goal.
Yeah, very good.
I did like that. What about Sam Walsh's heat map?
Oh, Bill, I don't think we need to point to that.
Well, I don't want to know if it's true or not. I don't know what's in the shape of. Well, I do. But
I don't know what it's in the shape of.
When have you ever talked about a heat map before, Bill?
Bill.
On radio.
Well,
we can't show our listeners.
I'll show you it.
Oh, you'll show it? Yeah, I'll show on radio and you're going to show us the heat map.
I'm going to get it on
Zoom. It's basically a little fruity, the drawing of the heat map. And Bill thinks it's the funniest thing ever because he's basically a juvenile. Aren't you? Mentally, it's about 12.
I'm not sure it is 12.
I think he was playing over in Fremantle at Cockburn, Jim.
Oh, no. Anyway, we move on from Carlton, and they are a worthy positive. Who else?
We'll get to Richmond. The minus came out of, obviously, the season-ending kidney injury to Dusty Martin, but just on the footy side of it, to do what they did against the Lions, having had a torrid previous month, it was old-school Richmond, wasn't it, Jim, the way they just pushed that ball forward at the key times. And they've got a tough game against Geelong now. That game will stay at the MCG. It's Geelong's home game. It will not be moved to GMHBA. But after that, just quickly, Jim, their matches go this way. After Geelong, Fremantle, North Melbourne, GWS and Hawthorn, I'm giving them those four games.
Four.
And that will be enough to make finals, and then it's game on again. But I'm giving them four out of the remaining five.
You reckon that'll be enough?
Well, they're on 8 wins now. 12 says to me, historically, you get in on the 12.
Even this year where that 8th spot's really tight?
Yeah, and I think the fact that he's tight actually lends itself to being a 12-win guarantee and maybe even 11, even though right now it looks like you might need more than that. But look, they were back to their old-school desperation and just channel the ball forward. So there are seasons...
Even a Dusty Martin-less Richmond, you think, can win,
I think they can win
five
of
their
five.
Last six?
Yeah, five of the last six, including the Lions game. Yeah,
well, if they do that, they'll be worthy finalists.
Yes, and then the conversation resets, doesn't it? What can they do at that point? But there's not one team that would want to play them, even without Dusty, I would think. So, Port Adelaide, in the context of where they've been over under Ken Hinckley's era, there's been bigger wins. They've made prelim finals twice. But I reckon if they can just make something of what they did on the weekend, the win against St Kilda was I feel, as good a home and away win as they've had for a long time anyway, because of the en masse injuries they've got. I mean, Gray being out for a long time, Motlop was out, Fantasia's been a good pickup, but hasn't been able to
Butters.
Play. And then Butters, Dersma, who played in the Sandful, Bill, and Rosie as well. That's Rosie. A lot of talent out. That's a lot of talent out. And He didn't he wrap up Ollie Wines on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday, Bill? Said he's found who he is and what he is. And yeah. I think that's a great little phrase to apply to Ollie Wines with how he's going about everything in 2021. And then you've also got Ryan Burton, Jim, who has been suffering niggling injuries pretty much his whole career. But he, again, according to Ken Hinckley, put together his best game of football as a Port player.
Carl Amon as well, Fat. I love the way he rolls. Very good player.
Kicks goals also, yep. Jim. But Georgiades, who was the other one. He's only a young boy, but gee, he can play. He's going to kick a lot of goals.
And Boyd.
Boyd. Well, he had to go off for old Boyd Woodcock. He corked his thigh.
He did.
Old splinters. So he went off for a while. Hey, I'll tell you what I did love. Horse Longmire. Did you see that? A great win by Sydney. But he got emotional, the big fella. He'd been away from family. They lost three players. They were 35 points down. Had a good win. He was actually emotional.
Were there tears, Bill? I have heard about this, but I didn't see it myself.
He was wiping away tears, and Horse never does that.
No. Oh,
that's very unhorse-like.
It's a character flaw, according to Sam Newman, isn't it?
Well, but it certainly was with Spud when he's the Don Bradman of our games. No, I can't go on. Who else?
No, it's just to Bill's point, the Swans, to be down 1-7 in the second quarter of that game and to then regroup, and Buddy hadn't done anything to that point, ended up with 4 and looked as good as at any stage of his been, certainly in 2021. Happily kicking 4 as well. The old guys, I just love what Parker and Kennedy are doing this year in just doing enough, but importantly allowing the kids beneath them to actually do equally as much. And they've got a beautiful mix, their Swans, right now.
No, they're good. Yep. Jake Stringer doing exactly what you need to do when you're out of contract.
Yeah, and what you need to do for a team that's still vying for the 8 and finished round 18 in the 8. So that being the Bombers, another 4 goals. Crucial at the times you want a player like that to be crucial in, Jim, late, that being. He's having a good season for the Bombers too, isn't he? Big 2-metre Peter. And Merritt and Parrish have put together some very, very sound seasons to this point. They stood up. North was good again, but ultimately the Bombers, with more to play for ultimately and with more talent, got the job done.
Well, what I like about North, Fat, is Taron Thomas is finally becoming what he's always had, extraordinary skill, but he's starting to put it together over 2 hours. Luke Davies, Uniac, the same. And Jai Simkin is a proper footballer.
Do you think he's the next captain?
I would have no doubt about that.
No doubt.
He or Luke McDonald, either or, they'd both be good, but he is... He's a serious footballer, Jai Simkin. Beautiful mover. I love the way he slices through traffic.
It was an important year for him, wasn't it, in that big picture perspective to take the step. And you're feeling he's taken the necessary step.
I reckon he's an absolute ripper.
Okay.
West Coast, I didn't see any of that. Is there anything coming out of that?
Did what they had. A bit like the Bulldogs against Gold Coast, did what they had to do to get the job done just to stay where they are in the 8. And that's sometimes that's all you got to do, just get the job done. Kennedy being out didn't hurt them, with Cripps kicking 5 and Ryan doing well too. But they got their goals through different means, and that's not a bad thing given it was forced upon them with Kennedy not being there. I thought what Hawthorn did to Melbourne, just to talk about the positive out of that game, from a Hawks perspective, was bring the ball in to their own 50 in a way that really unsettled Lever and May's operations. Yep. And any team playing Melbourne, I think, will study what Hawthorn did on that game. And look, some of it may have been inadvertent, but at the same time, it kept them out of the game. And I think it's a key takeout for other clubs. And I just want to touch back onto Geelong. It's been for some time. I just feel they're as well-placed as any club better placed than any club by some distance. If they can get back Cameron, which they expect to get back very late in the home and away, Bill. Gary Rowan, they'll probably miss one, maybe two more. And then the curveball one is the Mitch Duncan. I just don't have a read on whether he's going to get back from what he's got. But if he does, it might even be the first or second week of finals. But if they get all 3 back, look out.
Mm. No, I'm hearing it. Now, we got Carlton fans who have tuned in 100% to this time of the day because they want to know, is the bus that's been parked there for best part of 2.5 years after that meritorious win against their arch rival, is it going anywhere? Hit it, rabbits.
It's a good point, Jim.
It's on blocks, that bus.
You've actually caught me off guard on this.
It hasn't got any wheels.
You know what?
It's been left there that long.
I'm leaving it there.
Oh! No, Damo.
I'm leaving it there.
No.
I just want to see it again. All right? So maybe ask me this time next Monday.
They got North this weekend, haven't they? That's a game they absolutely should win.
They should win.
All right, you're going to... I'll leave it there. If they beat North, does it go?
No, because it's only North.
Damo.
That is harsh. Anyway, Nath Brown can finish off our show because it's been, you know, well, not our show, our segment with Purple, because we love him, of course.
As to everybody helped us out put this together. At the end of the art, I'm going to finish off with something. Triple M rocks footy.
Damo's recovery session.
At the end of the art.
It's a rush hour. Triple M.